You have given us the power, and you're with us every hour. And you've made our hearts your dwelling place, Father. Thank you for your Son and all the battles that you've won for us that give us so much joy. Help us, Lord, as we seek your renewal and we seek that you create a new heart in our hearts, that we may be restored into the new love, the first love that we had before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning I meant to wear my Bob Marley t-shirt, and I was supposed to run up on stage, and somebody was supposed to play, "Is this love, is this love, is this love better?" All right, that's how I imagined this morning. That's how I imagined it. And then when I woke up this morning, the t-shirt just didn't feel right. I was like, oh, bummer. But remember that question. Is this love that I'm feeling, right? Remember that question. Today, it would work so much better if you have a neighbor. So if you don't have a neighbor, you need to find a neighbor. So if you don't have a neighbor right now, you're sitting next to, please find one. You need to find a neighbor. This won't work well if you don't find a neighbor. We need to find neighbors. Let's get those neighbors going. Let's get those neighbors going. Neighbors, neighbors, I'm waiting. We got all day today. All day. Oh, yes, good. Neighbors, neighbors. You got neighbors? Find a neighbor. Find a neighbor. We good? Yes, thank you. Ah, perfect, perfect. So, some of you may not know me, I doubt that, but my name is Alan, and I'm supposed to be doing outreach at Tempe Church. Now, I know you're all doing outreach. I'm not so sure I've started yet, but Michael and I, in August, we sat down and we were wondering, how can we bring these outreach initiatives together, right? How can we do more awesome outreach? We're doing great. How can we do more awesome outreach? So, we were listening to God and just praying and wondering what God has in store for us in terms of what we need to hear and how we need to be spurred on into this outreach. And God put on us, like on our hearts, four steps to this renewal, right? And the first one was love. And second one was power. The third step was waiting. And the last step is acting. And so when we're thinking about this renewal, which is the series for this month of October, those are the four steps I'll be working on. And today, we'll start with step number one, which is love. And I am very happy to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Which already gives me a disclaimer, right? I don't know what I'm talking about. But this is the biggest part that makes me excited. Today's message is not for you. Today's message is for your neighbor. That's why you need a neighbor today. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, this one is for you, neighbor. Yeah, tend to your other neighbor if you have one. Tell them, this one is for you, neighbor. This one. Yeah, it's not. This one is for your neighbor, right? So today will be the first day where you go home to your other friends. God forbid you have any other friends who have these ones, right? To your other friends. And when they ask you, what did the preacher say today? You tell them, well, I'm not so sure. You didn't really know what he was talking about. Plus, he was meant for my neighbor anyway, right? So I gave you the permission. There you go. When I was growing up, I played a lot of sports. One of them was handball. And our coach would yell at us sometimes, hey, back to the basics, back to the basics. Which basically meant stop showing off to the girls and stop being stylish, back to the basics. And today we're going to go back to the basics as we see God's renewal. And that first step is love. Our conversation today about love is going to follow four movements. The first one, we're going to define love. Right? And the second movement, we're going to look at how it's impossible for us to love without God and his help. And the third movement, we'll talk about how uncomfortable it can be to love in the way that God loves, sitting with us sinners and waiting patiently for us to grow into better people. And the fourth movement, we'll talk about how God loves us and how we are to love others, which will lead us into a blessing. So let's define love. We've already read this scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, 1-7. The kids have been doing this for the past couple of weeks. So I won't read too much of it again, but I'll just repeat the part that the kids did this morning. What is love? Love is patient. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, not self-seeking. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. When we read from verse 1, we realize love is made out to be the ultimate. Of all the things, powers, gifts, whatever it is that you may have, love is the ultimate. Love is the big deal. And this is the kind of love that I'd like us to talk about today. The kind that refuels renewal and the kind that flows from God. I read a story a few weeks ago when I was, you know, sitting down with this scripture. And there was this girl. She was in elementary school, I think, you know, 9 or something like that. And she was telling her mom that she was in love with a certain boy whom we shall call Toby. And the mother said, "Baby, you should put his name into this verse, right?" And so the girl's like, okay, I'll do it. And then she says, you know, "Toby is kind." And then immediately she stopped. And she's like, "Well, I saw him being mean to a kid yesterday." And the mother was like, "Yes, that's right. So Toby's not really kind, is he?" As you can imagine, as she went down the verse, Toby failed dismally. Oh, he failed. Now, I don't disagree with the mother. And I don't quite agree with her either. This exercise is quite helpful in our walk at some point. Sometimes it may actually hurt. When I was a kid, my parents made me do the very same exercise, but on myself. I tried to meditate on this verse. I put my name in it. I actually wrote it down, put it in my pocket. I like whip it out every now and then. Year after year, I failed. Until I gave up. I was discouraged. I failed this test, and I think if this girl were to come and try to marry me right now, I might fail the test again. But that seems to be most of us, if not all of us. Alone by ourselves, this change to become this kind of person who loves this way is impossible. And I know that many times in the Bible, we hear these commandments. I command you to love one another. New commandment I give. All these things. But I don't think Jesus meant for us to do it alone. By ourselves. By our own power. And so, if we're not meant to do it alone and we're meant to love, where do we go from here? How do we enact this kindness and patience? How do we become people who keep no record of wrong? Who do not insist on their own way? Maybe we could find clues in Galatians 5:20, maybe. Galatians 5:20, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. Okay, let's stop. Love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit bearing fruit in our lives. It doesn't come from us praying enough or fasting long enough or working hard at it. You let the Spirit work in you. It bears fruit. And one of those is going to be love. You don't plant a tree today and expect to harvest tomorrow. You plant it today, it germinates. It grows. It flowers. Then it bears fruit. That takes time. You might have heard this story about somebody who wanted patience. He was like, "I want patience and I want it now." Being patient with God and with each other is not easy. Love is patient. And this is where love thrives, in that patience. Being patient with God as He works in us. Being patient with each other as that tree of the Spirit grows in us. Until it flowers and bears fruit. The hardest thing I have experienced in life is sitting with people in their mishaps. In the world of Christianity, we call those sins. We want them to change right now. Oh, it's good for you, right? It is, to be patient, to be kind, to keep no record of wrong. It's good for you. Change now. It's hard to sit with the person as they grow out of those things. And it is true. It is true your neighbor does not fit this verse at all. It's true. Now they have sinned. The question is, can we be patient with them? Can we trust that God has them? That the Spirit is at work in them? That soon it will bear fruit. Many new believers come to church, and there's something we might encounter as we reach out to more people out there. They come to church carrying habits of thought and action. And yes, they will believe. They'll be baptized. It doesn't mean tomorrow they'll wake up not craving the things they used to crave or not doing them. So how do we sit with them as they go through their 40 years in the desert like the children of Israel? Or 40 years like Moses, right? Before he got called. How do we sit with them? How do we sit with each other? Should these new people hide their habits from us, pretend to be perfect? Should we hide our own challenges, our own mishaps? Hide them from each other so we can be more comfortable? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. No. Shall we try harder by ourselves that grace may abound? No either. Usually when we read Matthew 6:31, people usually go on to talk about the physical needs that we have. And Jesus was saying, don't worry about these things, right? Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? And all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I will provide for you. And yes, Jesus may have been talking about the clothes we wear or the food we eat. I'd like to challenge us today to think about the spiritual as well. Ephesians 6:10. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy. And in this armor, we have faith. And as armor, we have righteousness. Be fully prepared with the good news. Hold up your shield of faith, salvation, all these things. This is our spiritual armor. These are the clothes we wear spiritually. And if God cares about what we wear physically, what more what we wear spiritually? Don't worry about these things, about how strong your faith is, about where it comes from. Don't worry about this salvation question. This armor of God, God will provide what you wear. If physically, what more spiritually? This too is clothing. We should not worry. So what do we do? What do we do when we come to the point where we realize maybe we shouldn't be doing? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe we should be letting the Spirit do the work in us, through us. What do we do? Well, don't ask me. I already told you I don't know what I'm talking about today. I don't know. Plus, remember, it's your neighbor's time today, so the neighbor should be asking the questions, not you. I'm encouraged by all the declarations God makes when he tells us about how much he loves us. Today I want to highlight Jeremiah 30 verse 22. Where God says, you will be my people and I will be your God. It's almost like a company being acquired, right? A new shareholder in our lives who claims ownership over us. But the neat thing about this is, as much as he claims ownership over us, he also gives us the right to own him in some way. I will be your God, just as you will be my people. If we're a company, we really would be rejoicing right now because this shareholder is kind of different. He gives us promises. Promises that he would like us to keep him accountable for. And what does it mean to be God's people? It means to be loved. To be loved so much that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, some people would have you say all you have to do is believe. And there's nothing wrong with that. And yet, to be honest, talking about some guy 2,000 years ago who died on a tree and then rose from the dead, that's quite difficult to believe. Not only that, but he was born of a virgin. Then he flew to heaven. It's like Superman stuff. That's hard to believe. And so when we go out there and we try to talk to people and we tell them this story, oh no, this is a challenging story to believe. And I'm glad that you and I believe it. Oh, I am grateful for that, because in it I have found the good news, I have found life, and I found truth. But there's something else that's easy to accept when we go out there, and that is patience, kindness, not keeping a record of wrong, rejoicing in truth, always persevering, always hoping, love. Now, when we lead with love, as God did, he loved the world, and that was the first thing. So yes, believe, but maybe first be loved. Let God love you, let you be loved, and let you love. And when you first love your neighbor, and when you do it like God and you give, you find that your neighbor will be believing in no time at all. So let's pause for a second before asking everyone else to believe, and let's love. We need to be transformed by the continual renewal of our minds through the Spirit. We need to change the way we think continuously as the Spirit leads us. So we start with love, but we know we cannot love by ourselves, so we seek the kingdom, and we live out of God's renewal. We love out of God's renewal. Today, as we conclude, I just want to say, love is the greatest of them all the gifts, all the powers. You can't make yourself love. Only God can help you. So let the Spirit dwell in you and make a dwelling place in your heart. And once we seek his kingdom, we love others as God loves us, with patience. God loves us with kindness. God does not insist on his own way. He's not self-seeking. He wants the best for you. He gives us the freedom to choose whichever way we want to live. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. He keeps no record of wrong, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, perseveres, rejoicing in the truth that nothing in heaven or anywhere can separate us or our neighbor from God's love. So today we're going to end with a blessing for our neighbor. If you reach in front of the pew, there is this beautiful blessing. So this is a blessing for our neighbor. So those who have neighbors, you're going to be? Yes, I need a neighbor. Thank you. You need your own blessing. You bring your own blessing. Cool. We're going to fill out the name of our neighbor today in this blessing. And we're going to pray the blessing together. So I'm going to give us time to write the names in. I'm going to write Joel.
I'm writing Alan.
I took the liberty of getting the autograph of the man himself over there. This is a gift to your neighbor. And so, if we would pray together, it's okay to pray with our eyes open. Dear Joel, I bless your spirit with God's word today. He said, "So you'll be my people and I'll be your God." Joel, we are his, you and I, his. And he's ours. and he wants to make a dwelling place in your heart. I bless you with the strength to receive this truth that when he's done making a dwelling place in you, I will rejoice and say, look, Joel is patient. Joel is kind. Joel does not envy. Joel does not boast, and Joel is not proud. Joel does not dishonor others, and Joel is not self-seeking. Joel is not easily angered, and Joel keeps no record of wrongs. Joel does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Joel always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It will take time, his time, but today may you, Joel, be blessed always with this expectation of your healing and wholeness. Joel, be renewed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Signed with love, Jesus and Alan. Look at that. I signed your name.
He wrote the wrong name.
I know. Brother. I'm blessed. That's it. So, once we've done the blessing, if you could give it to your neighbor, and may we all be encouraged today and renewed.